Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from GThanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at GThanksJustBoughtItPod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on GThanks, visit GThanksJustBoughtIt.com/episodes. See you there. Everybody, welcome to a midweek episode of GThanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss. I'm joined by my guest co-host, Sally Tamarkin. Sally, you heard her last week. We were talking about getting high and watching 90s commercials, which unfortunately could not have been a better diagnosis for Friday's world news activity. Sally, welcome back.
I'm so excited to be here. The timing was great for the release of the episode. So thank you for releasing it when you did, because it helped me.
Yeah. Yeah. I honestly ordered weed that night, delivery weed, which is one of LA's best things.
Yeah, LA is just a whole different universe.
A whole different vibe, as they say here in LA. But I ordered a bunch of weed and a bunch of gummies, and I was just chatting with the guy who delivered it, and he was like, oh my God, it's so busy. Like, it has not been this busy since.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Like, Friday, everyone, like, gave in to their vices, and they were like, we are going to do some substances. He said it was so
busy.
If you're not gonna
self-medicate the day of a historic yanking away of crucial human rights, when are you going to self-medicate?
Truly. And then I also topped that off with, I ordered pizza for me and Dan, but I ordered enough pizza for 8 people and we still finished it. So it was a really nice
Perfect.
Friday night. And I'm just going to have to do that every night till the end of time.
Yeah, that's like, I mean, there's no other way to deal with. I mean, listen, existence generally is difficult and painful, but
yes,
days like Friday and every day since has been even more kind of unbearably painful. And I don't want to sound like hyperbolic or like I'm being glib or something like that.
No, it's true.
I'm not. It's true. Yeah. And it's just been like, it's really hard to know what to do with yourself.
Yeah, it sucks. And also, it is like playing. I have been so upset about so many different things happening in the world in the last couple months, but also in the last couple years, probably longer. And it's very difficult because the stages of grief, the stages of coming to terms with these things, they happen so fast back to back that we are just constantly in a stage of grief. Like, we don't even get to cycle out into another stage where it's like, okay, now I'm mad and I'm going to go organize, or now I'm this and I'm going to do that. I mean, we do, but we don't, right? I mean, like gun control, what happened in Texas was not that long ago. Like, it was weeks. And yeah, I'm still upset about that. And now we have this. And it's like, it is just never ending. So it's really important that the internet would make you believe that it's your job to inform yourself like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And like, and that like turning away from that is a privilege. And like, yes, of course, being able to turn off the news is a privilege, but like, that doesn't mean you shouldn't use that privilege to your own advantage, which is that getting to take a break means that you're more prepared to actually do objectively, good, productive work in terms of like the change that you want to make. Like, there is no change that comes from just sitting and like making yourself miserable looking at every single tweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I want to say a couple things. One is, I totally agree. It's like one phase. It's like, it's not even like one phase after the other. It's like we're just in kind of one constant, undifferentiated phase of getting really bad news and figuring out how to process it and then what action to take around it. And mm-hmm. it feels very whiplashy. For example, I recorded an episode of my podcast. Oh, I forgot the name of my podcast for a second. Oh, I like that.
Yep.
It sounds so much like Gee Thanks that sometimes I can't remember which one.
Gee Thanks, I like I that. Host. Oh, Gee Thanks.
Gee Thanks, I like that. And I had to record, I mentioned in that episode, I just made like a passing reference to terrible things that had happened in the world and a bad court decision. And I had to record a bumper before the episode was released because I actually wasn't even talking about Roe v. Wade. I mean, Dobbs, you know what I mean? Like, I was talking about another bad thing and another bad court decision.
Yeah, you need to be specific.
Right. Just in the like 3 days that elapsed between like recording and releasing, it was, I needed to like acknowledge a new tragedy. So it's really hard. And I think like what you said about people, like the internet would have you believe that if you turn away, it's a privilege, et cetera. One thing that is finally becoming clear to me, is that like everyone has to start trying to just be cool, just be a little cool, get a little bit of a grip. Like, cause we were talking about this in our group chat, Caroline, that like people have like kind of lost the plot. Like, I think everyone everywhere in every direction, including myself, where it's like, you're so frantic and you're so freaked out that it's like everything you see online, is like fueling how freaked out you are and how frantic you feel. And anytime someone says something, you're like, oh my God, it really is pandemonium and chaos. And I do have to do that. Oh my God, I have to do that thing too. And that thing and that thing. And like, we do really have to do a lot of things and shit is really serious right now. But I think a really important thing to do is also to just like get a grip and remember that like we are human beings outside of what we consume on the internet, and we can make good decisions for ourselves around what we do and when we do it. And I don't say that to say like, don't let people talk you into taking action. Everyone relax, because I think everyone needs to be talked into taking action.
Right.
But the pace that the like social media demands that we feel things and process things I don't think it's sustainable. And I also don't think it helps. I know it certainly doesn't help me kind of take in and think about and process and then figure out how to move forward and take action on things. It just feels like a nonstop onslaught.
Yeah. And the important thing to remember too, and Sally, I say this to you as I know that you organize in Philadelphia and you're very involved in like a move towards a more progressive county, city, state. But also remember to everyone else that like there are so many, no one is calling on you to come up with a step one solution. I feel like there's a lot of people who feel like we have to reinvent the wheel. We don't. The work is already being done by lots of people. You have to just join them. And they'll be happy to have you. And it actually is very easy. They have done the hard part and you get to do the easy part, which is just join and mm-hmm. help amplify and elevate those messages. And I say this very broadly because this covers a wide range of topics, gun control, our right to our body autonomy, healthcare, Black Lives Matter, the abolitionist movement. It all exists out there. Most of it, honestly, is intersectional. And where you find one, you will find another. But it exists. And so those are all people too who are sort of real pillars, I think, in these sort of situations, because what we see on the internet following this kind of stuff is the pandemonium reactionary porn that's like, oh my God, like, I can't believe it. Like, I too cannot believe that Roe has been overturned. But also, if I step back, I can believe it, because mm-hmm. literally, this is not a surprise. And we knew this was coming, and we knew it was definitely coming in the beginning of May, because we literally saw the leaked opinion. So a lot of the first reaction is going to be like, oh my God, the sky is falling. But babe, the sky's been falling, so it's fine. But you can join. There are, in every pocket of America, there are people who have already been keeping their heads down doing this work. You can join them. You know, organizing requires many minds and also many talents. So bring what you're good at to the table and someone will find a job for you, I promise. But also, you got to take care of yourself, too. It's not, you're not wrong for getting really high and eating 8 servings of pizza. You're not. And I'm not either.
You're right for doing that, if anything.
Exactly. Anything you want to add to the organization message?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, I've really appreciated what you've been doing on the G-Thanks Instagram, where you've just kind of been talking about how you're thinking about our current political moment and how your thinking has changed and evolved. I think that, like, a really meaningful thing that, and I say this as a white person, that I think white people can do is talk to other white people about that kind of evolving. And I think, you know, I used to be an organizer, like, for my job, and we worked with a lobbyist who would explain to us where different elected officials sat on where they were on our issue by assigning a number from 1 to 5. Mm. And people who were ones really supported our bill, which was a trans rights bill. They, nice. They supported it. They championed it. They would talk to their colleagues about it. They would raise the bill on the floor. Twos were supportive, but wouldn't necessarily bring other people along. Maybe they wouldn't stand up and raise the bill, but they would vote with us. Threes were undecided. Fours were like the equivalent of twos, but on the other side. They would vote no on our bill, but they also wouldn't spend time trying to get their colleagues to vote no.
And five were the ones, the organizers
hated
of
the bill. Yeah.
The others. Yeah.
Not only did they not want to vote, they wanted to vote no. They didn't want anyone else to vote yes. And they would spend their time trying to talk their colleagues out of supporting us. And we basically divided our time up. We were like, okay, so fives, probably the return on investment isn't going to be great. So what we can do is see if we can get threes to become twos. And, you know, let's bring those undecided people to our side. And those twos who support us, let's see if we can get them to champion us. And I think, like, that thinking, I come back to that a lot because, you know, there are people in my life, not a lot, but like a few here and there, who I would say are like fives, maybe not on a particular issue, but in terms of, like, they're still talking about, and Caroline, tell me if you don't want me to go here, but like, they're still mad at, like, people who voted for Bernie or like not having elected Hillary. Actually, those aren't really fives. Let me start over. That's not right.
Well, I get what you're saying. Like, there is a spectrum. The parties don't always all agree, but what the Republicans do very well is that they have their core issues and they make them sort of like the non-negotiables of being members of their party. Whereas I feel like there's more factions within a more like liberal, there's a spectrum of being liberal, right?
Yeah.
So you have people who are more moderate, more centrist, and who still believe that Bernie bros are the reason why Trump got elected. And
right,
I don't
exactly that. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, there, some of those people may be like fours or fives where it's like, they have their heels dug in. Like, this is really important to their identity to, like, believe that, like, Bernie was the cause of this. So I'm not going to, like, worry about them. But, you know, there are some people who maybe are leaning that way. And I feel like, Caroline, like, you shared screenshots of conversations with people that I think fit this category. Yes. Where, you know, they're not fours and fives, but maybe they're threes leaning fours, where if someone comes to them and pulls them towards one or two, they will go. They just need to be pulled there. They need someone to sit down with them and do what you did, which is you talked about your journey. You talked about how you've changed and evolved. And I think that, you know, that I think that's a really powerful thing that we can do. I'm not sure about the listenership of the show, but if you're listening to this and you're white, I think that's like a really great way to spend your energy in, mm-hmm. in a moment where it feels like, oh my God, everything needs to happen. There has to be so much to do. And to your point, Caroline, like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. The hardest stuff has been done. Now yeah. we just need like people to actually do the work that other people are saying, like, hey, we need you to do this. And yeah. in fact, I would say it's better to defer to those activists and organizers who have a deep familiarity with the issues, who have a deep familiarity with the structural impediments and all that stuff.
That's right. And what I'll add to that too, because I think this is something that I missed in my conversations that I had yesterday, is like, you know, we're all allowed to like grow and evolve and change. Like, that's the point of living and like becoming an adult. You know, like in 2015, when those debates started, when everyone was like, this is so funny, Trump's running for president. Like, that's so funny. Like the very beginning of this, where it was like, wait, that's hysterical. Like, oh my gosh, crazy. Mm-hmm. Before it became mm-hmm. like, holy shit, this reality. You know, I was 27 years old. Like, I would hope I'm different now. I would hope I believe differently now. But at the time, and I have no problem saying this, I found Bernie bro culture to be extremely polarizing. Trump was incredibly scary to me, and I was very much like, we need everyone to vote for Hillary, and like, you might as well just vote for Trump if you're voting for Bernie. I'm embarrassed of that belief now, but I spent the last 7 years figuring out why that was wrong. But also the moment we were at in 2015, 2016 is so much different than where we're at now. You know, we're coming off of 8 years of a president that like most people liked, and if you're more organized in the socialism scene, you'll learn why maybe Obama wasn't the best. But from like a fun perspective, people really liked Obama. And I think people kind of thought, and I was one of them, you know, wow, like we have a black president, like we can only move forward. Like we are only moving forward. Like things can only go up from here. And you think that by the time you get a black president elected into office, you know, that means everything under him, every position in authority and power must be in the right spot for that to have happened. Right. And I think what I've learned is that you can be in the bluest state possible, and there are still going to be issues and inequalities throughout your community, your county, your state. And if those don't sit right with you, even if you do live in the bluest of blue places, and I happen to before when I lived in New York, then yeah, you actually, what you're hoping for is for something more progressive and more change. And that is a lot less scary to think of than seeing the sound bites on Twitter of people being like, there should be no cops. And I think when people hear, oh my gosh, there should be no cops, you forget that there's like tons of research, tons of data, tons of information to back up the abolitionist movement, right? This isn't just like a bunch of people got together and decided to say there should be no cops with no plan. And when I started really getting involved was with like bail fund movements in New York, and really looking at data about how our prison system works, how our police systems work, the origins of both of those things, how they're rooted in racism, how they're institutionalized to hurt the most marginalized and vulnerable communities. And you can actually look at that work. Like Sally said, like all I had to do was read it. I didn't have to write it, and I didn't have to research it myself, but the information is there. And so when you get nervous when people say, you know, no more cops, but like, I would encourage you to just take a breath. If you see something like that and your first reaction is like, oh my God, like that's insane and extreme. And saying no more cops doesn't mean that there's a plan. take a step back, access some of this information, and you'll see that there are actually plans in place. And like what Sally said, all you have to do is just join the fight and be another voice, because that's how you build a majority. We didn't plan to talk so much about this in the beginning, but I do think that those conversations I had were important. And I'm not embarrassed to say that, like, you know, I went to, I said this in the group chat, that like the Women's March, like I look back on it and I loll at myself, because it's like, we were really, I mean, I was, I won't put everyone at the same path that I'm on and the timing that I'm on. I was very naive back then, you know, and I think a lot of people were. And as a white woman, you know, like, that's my job to sort of reflect and grow. And I know that a lot of people who listen to this podcast are white. And I hope that if the Instagrams I posted the other day were helpful to you, that you just start reading and researching and realizing that there is a better way. And that doesn't mean that it's easy, and it's not going to be as easy as just showing up to the polls, but there's more to it. And get involved, get into it.
Yeah, get into it, get involved. I think it's really important to be able to talk about how we learned and how we're growing and how we'll continue to. And I'm sure Caroline will be recording a podcast in 6 years talking about how embarrassing it is to think about how we acted in 2022.
Totally. I hope so.
And it yeah, and that's the way it should be. And I think, you know, there's a church near me that has a sign out front, you know, and they have the letters that they swap out all the time. And for a while they had on that sign just the phrase, "Welcome, can you go a little further?" And I think about that all the time, because I think about, like, you know, people who are, the thing that I think about a lot recently as a non-binary person is people who are really outraged about Roe, and people who I've never seen talk about anything political online are completely outraged, but using exclusively gendered language, like sort of refuse to use like inclusive non-gendered language to talk about Roe. And my response to that is, welcome, can you go a little further? You know, it's, you know, you've never been political, you've never been involved, but now you're here. Okay, cool. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. Let's go a little further. And I think, you know, especially if you spend enough time on certain parts of the internet, it can sort of feel like, oh, well, if I haven't been involved this whole time, and if I haven't been this progressive and this leftist this whole time, then I'm not going to be wanted, and I should not do anything, and I should stay away. And I think that I feel like pretty confident that if you are an earnest person who cares about liberation and social justice, people want you in their movements no matter when you come to them.
Yeah. And you are allowed to have held opinions and beliefs that you no longer hold. No one is asking for a little tiny baby socialist since birth. And
absolutely,
that's how you learn. I would liken this time in history, hopefully, to sort of what we saw in May and June 2020, which is that people who were like, yeah, of course I believe Black Lives Matter, but like, it feels weird for me to shout it because I don't, you know what I mean? Like, there were a lot of, all of a sudden everyone's like, Black Lives Matter. And it's like, wow, you guys were also afraid to say that for the last 6 years of this movement. And 6 years meaning since Ferguson, but obviously for a lifetime and a history of this movement. But then people started getting comfortable because you start talking about it in language that you understand, and you start looking at situations like what happened in Central Park to the Black man who was birding and Amy Cooper, who threatened to call the cops on him for doing nothing. And you can literally look at that and say, actually, no, I don't agree with that. And this is kind of another moment where it's like, forget the labels and the names and what you think a movement is about. Literally, all you have to do is look at a situation and say, like, if you think we can do better than what's happening here, there is a movement waiting for you.
That's a beautiful way of putting it.
So thank you. I am a beautiful speaker.
You're beautiful inside and out. That's I want to talk about your beauty for a second. No, but like that, that is true. That's what it's about. And I think that, I think there are a lot of people out there. I think there are a lot of G thanks heads. Mm-hmm. As there are like heads and just people in general out there who are maybe liberals or leftists or somewhere in between, who actually, once they embrace being even more progressive and moving even further to the left, it feels better. It feels more consistent with your values. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because there have been times in my past where, for example, I really, really liked Elizabeth Warren. I really, really liked her. And around, like, before Bernie ended up being the candidate, I moved away from Elizabeth Warren because I felt like Bernie had a more, I felt like what he was doing and the way he was building a base and the way he was talking about various issues and policies felt more liberatory to me than the way Elizabeth Warren talked about. There are things about Elizabeth Warren I think are completely great and awesome. And I don't like Hillary Clinton. I've never liked Hillary Clinton. And I did really like Elizabeth Warren. But I moved away from Elizabeth Warren. And when I did and I embraced, I had also been really turned off by Bernard Brothers, as I started calling them. And
yeah.
But once I sort of stopped paying attention, the thing is, on the internet, you can find the like
worst
hyper intense worst version of anything.
Of whatever,
so the worst
you want to find,
Bernard
yes,
Brothers.
Exactly.
Yeah. Once I let go of them and I talked to my friends who were really big Bernie fans because of
Bernie heads,
you know,
we'll say.
Bernie has. I was like, yeah, you know what? Like, this is all much more consistent with my actual values as a person, and the fit felt so much more comfortable to me, and it felt easier to get involved. It felt easier to talk about things. I'm not out here saying that. Like, no one who runs for president is ever going to represent me and my beliefs fully and completely. Like, this is always a matter of like, who's a little better than someone else, who's a little bit less bad than someone else.
Right.
But I when I heard, you know, Bernie's vision for healthcare versus Elizabeth Warren's or whatever, I was like, okay, this actually feels more consistent. I don't have to argue as much. I don't have to like, I don't know like if other people are deranged online sickos like me, where you feel like you're constantly having to explain why you're supporting someone. Once I let go of that and was just doing stuff that was consistent with my values, in this case, Bernie, I just, all that other nonsense fell away and I could just like be useful. And so,
that's
what I'm saying. Like, just let all that shit go. If you think to yourself, I think we can do better, let everything else go and just do work.
Yeah, for sure. I'm a Liz Warren head, I gotta say. And like, that was really where my loyalty lied up to 2020. But you did vote for Hillary.
Oh, yeah. I did.
Right. I think a lot of people don't. I think what was happening too with the Bernard Brothers.
Oh, yeah. That's good to make clear. I did. Of course, I did.
Yeah. And you voted for Biden. And what I liked, I don't know if you saw this story, because I just want it, because it makes no sense to just regurgitate. I mean, to just say it in my own words, I'll just read what Hannah Jerzallen, who is a listener, a queer woman in LA and an organizer in LA, she wrote me this message and I'll read it. And I think this is the most important thing to understand when you hear someone say burn it all down, when you hear someone say like fuck the two-party system. She wrote, in regards to the politics convo, the language that I've learned about the importance of voting is about harm reduction. I did not vote for Joe Biden because I believed he would change anything. I voted for him so marginalized people would face less harm over the following 4 years than if Trump was elected again. I have no illusions that the Democrats are going to save us. They have proven over and over that they won't. We will save us by doing grassroots organizing in our communities, getting involved in mutual aid, and working for local change. Even a lot of local politics and voting is harm reduction. But you are seeing right now in these primaries leading up to these midterms, way more progressive candidates. And the problem that I have, I think, with a lot of the messaging from like the original Bernard Brothers was that this idea of like being like Bernie or bust, and I'm not going to show up to vote. If you don't vote at all, then yes, that is a way to get Republicans elected, because they show up to vote, and they always do. But you are also allowed, it is not contradictory to the movement of a more progressive America, of a more equitable America, to go show up at the polls and vote for Joe Biden, because it's not going to happen overnight. And Bernie heads and Liz Warren heads worked hard in the hopes of getting someone a little bit more progressive in the Democratic nominee seat. It didn't happen. It is your job to both create harm reduction and put in the vote for whatever Democrat is on the ballot in that moment, the most progressive one you got. And if that's Joe Biden, okay. Hopefully one day there will be someone a little bit better on that ballot. And also then go back to your community. You have not abandoned anyone. You have not gone against anything that you believe in. It is all part of the process of doing this work, which is that we don't let Trump take office just because we're not pleased with everyone at the top level. We start low and local.
Right. And I have to say, like, you know, if, and I'm speaking to my people who are white people, like, because that's my experience. Like, if you're telling me that you're not going to vote because you don't like the choices you have, I'm going to need you to be like doing things in your community. Like, if you're not going to vote because you wanted to vote for Bernie and he's not on the bill, please show me what it is you're doing that is materially improving.
Yes.
People's lives or organizing people, because
that is not like a protest to not vote, in other words.
No, it doesn't. Right. And honestly, like, I think that we all should probably be a lot better at participating in ways that are not voting, you know, like voting feels really bad lately. Like, I really, really, really hated voting for Hillary in 2016, I have to be honest. And I didn't love voting for Biden, even though I was like thrilled at the idea that Trump wouldn't be in office anymore. But, you know, you do those things because, first of all, it's better than not doing them. And also because people who are out there on the ground, people who are organizing and spend their time and blood, sweat, and tears trying to make a better world for us, those people are telling us to vote, even though you know it's a lesser two evil situation.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, also, like, voting might not feel good. First of all, vote locally for sure, like you're saying, Caroline, but also, like, participate in mutual aid in your community. Like, get involved. Like, do things that actually make people's lives materially better. Like, if someone is out here being like, I don't vote, but then they're showing me all the ways they show up in their local community and the ways they make people's lives materially better, okay, like, I'm not going to argue with you, but I feel like 0% of people who refuse to vote because Bernie wasn't available to be voted for, 0% of those people are doing that stuff in communities.
1,000%. And we here, the G-Thanks heads, are very involved in mutual aid, because that was something that we all started doing as a community in 2020. And I think it really opened up people's eyes to the idea that, like, you can literally do very small things that directly impact the people in your backyard and around you. And it doesn't have to feel as sort of muted as just like giving $10 to like some national organization that pays for a lot of overhead. There are ways to also check these things, but I always say go the mutual aid route if you're going to give money to anything.
Absolutely.
But also too, like, if I think there's a huge common misconception that people who want change so badly also don't show up to vote. And I think it's actually quite the opposite. Everyone who wants change that I know is always voting. They're never not voting. They vote like every day. They're always doing voting.
They're always out there voting. That stream of like that way of thinking is something that I saw a lot on the internet, but similarly don't really know anyone in real life who was like, well, I'm not going to the polls because I can't cast the vote for like the dude I like. I will say though too, there were a lot of people in 2020 who were doing kind of the opposite thing, which was like if Bernie gets the nomination, I won't vote. Like, I will only vote for Biden. And I tried to start some fights on Facebook about that and no one really responded. But like, people said stuff like that, I tried to comment and be like, can we talk about this? But everyone is like America pilled. I think a lot of white people are America pilled, where we think it's our privilege to sit out of anything we don't like and do the things we want to do. And when we don't like something, we take our ball and go home. And that's not going to make anything better for anyone. That just makes us selfish and annoying.
You said it. I mean, for real, like 100%. I think a really good way to just start thinking about this stuff is like the way that I felt about it, worth repeating, which is that for my entire life, I've only lived in very blue, very liberal, very democratic cities for college, growing up, after college, now. And I could very easily run a list of 10 things I think could improve where I live. And all of those things are in the hands of different people that I have to cast votes for every few years at different levels of politics. And when you put it that way, and you realize Joe Biden's not coming to your town to help you, but your city council woman or man or person is, those are the most, think about who the president of your district is. You know what I mean? Like, who can actually enact change? It's all people at the local level. And that's really where we have to start, because the president technically isn't really going to help us specifically have a better community. You know, that really doesn't, that's not up to them. And I think that people really forget that.
Yeah, that's totally true. Can I recommend a book?
Yeah, because always.
Because you said something that I thought was really important. You were talking about like abolition, and people hear that and they think like, that's just tearing down something. What's going to go in place of that? And it made me think of a book I read by Angela Davis called Are Prisons Obsolete? And you can actually read the whole thing online. It's like 65 pages. It's a really, really good read. And a lot of it is about how in the United States, it's really hard to even imagine what it would look like to have a society that didn't depend on incarceration incarceration as punishment, as a way of dealing with harm and wrongdoing. It's it's so hard. It's almost like, I mean, I'm stumbling for words thinking about how to describe it, because the way in our society that we think about it is like, you do a crime, you go to jail. You don't think, there's no thinking about like, who was harmed? How were they harmed?
How do we determine the crime?
And like, what does crime even mean? And like, can accountability exist without... Anyway, it's a really, really incredible like meditation on incarceration and abolition and prisons. And just a big part of it is Angela Davis talking about how hard a time we have even imagining an alternative, but then she shows you what some alternatives could be to thinking about this stuff. And I think that in particular, if abolition is difficult to get your mind around, or if when people say like defund the police, abolish prisons, if that feels frightening to you and you don't understand how it would work, I think that's fair, because in the United States, we are socialized to think that the way it works is you commit a crime, you go to jail. But there are other ways to think about these things. And reading this book has expanded my ability to imagine other kinds of things. So I think it's really helpful. It's just really good. It's Angela Davis. So let me tell you, Our Prison's Obsolete. It's from 2003.
Okay. I'm definitely going to read that. And I would recommend, if you've been kind of feeling like the Handmaid's Tale references are overwhelming, to read Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler.
That'll do it.
Because, you know, this has also been a Black person's problem and a trans person's problem and an Indigenous person's problem, throughout the history of this country. And, you know, similarly to probably how a lot of us felt in 2016 when Trump was elected, I know I did, and I'm not afraid to say that, and I know that I'm not alone in this, is like, oh, wow, like when it actually, when they come for you, you know, like when you, it starts to be about you, it's very easy to be like, holy shit, like, can you believe it? But remember that there are a lot of marginalized and vulnerable communities that can believe it, because it's been happening to them the entire time. And that's the other thing, too, is that the Democrats will have you believe that this is a country with a two-party system. One party is very good and one party is very bad. But the reality is both are bad in lots of different ways. But they were formed to protect and serve very few people, actually. And you can imagine something better and allow yourself to imagine something better. Don't let anyone talk you into thinking that this is the only way it could be, because it's just not the truth. I will put that book in the show notes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll send you, if you want, there's a link to like, well, you, or you can Google it if you want, but there's a link to you to read it online.
Yeah.
Wait, Caroline, you just said something that made me want to, oh, you know, I was going to say like, I think that I noticed this also after Trump was elected, and mm-hmm. in part I noticed it because my partner, it works with a lot of like works in social justice. And so she knows and follows a lot of organizers and activists. Mm-hmm. If you follow organizers and activists, like mm-hmm. they aren't like throwing themselves on the floor and like pounding the floor and screaming and crying and wailing
yeah.
the way the Democratic Party is,
yes.
like the Democratic Party leadership is, and the way that like a lot of well-intentioned liberal, cis, white, straight people are.
Yes.
Like they're like, okay, this is really bad. It's been really bad for a while. We've known
we knew this was coming. Exactly. Yeah.
Let's keep doing the work. And you know, yep. not to downplay like the despair and that many people are feeling, regardless of whether or not they're organizers, but the absolute like sort of performative pandemonium and that I without knowing anyone personally, I can make this recommendation.
Yeah.
Don't follow people who are doing that. Like, or if you have to follow them because they're your friends, like mute them and follow a ton of organizers. Like
yes.
follow activists, follow people who are like, this is really bad. I'm taking some time to mourn. I'm taking some time to grieve. I'm taking some time to eat pizza for eight people and get high.
But we
and
have
then
a plan.
I'm doing the work.
And then we're doing the work. Yeah. And yeah. like, look, Nancy Pelosi backed the only anti-abortion Democrat. The only.
I can't
like,
even.
weeks ago. Nancy Pelosi
she
had two options.
Stumped for an anti-choice Democrat
yeah,
who was
stumped.
Running against a progressive Latina candidate.
Meanwhile, today in Illinois, I believe there is somebody running who got the Biden endorsement who also voted to keep the Keystone Pipeline in place. So you're looking at this, and I want you to remember that it is very stressful to get 17 text messages from Act Blue saying like, oh my God, we need your it's happening. They're
it's
coming
happening.
For us.
This
Here's
is the
what's
one.
Happening, Nancy Pelosi, who keeps asking me for $12. She knows it's happening. She knew it was happening. She was in support of someone who wanted it to happen. She does not get my $15. And
she
I think
read
we
a goddamn
can,
poem.
She read a goddamn poem. She does not get my vote. She does not get my support. That's not me being an anti Democrat. That's not me throwing my weight behind the Republican Party. It's literally just saying, I think we can do better here. And if you similarly in May 2020 and June 2020, prior to that, felt deep down that you knew Black Lives Matter, that you knew what it meant when people said Black Lives Matter, that you heard someone say All Lives Matter and you thought, no, that's not it. But you also weren't very loud about it because you felt like it wasn't your place. You felt like you weren't informed enough. You felt like you didn't want anyone to get mad at you. Take a similar approach now. If you now are very comfortable saying Black Lives Matter and you know that that's right and you know why it's right and you know, and there's no, it's unequivocal to you that you believe that, take a similar approach to your sort of learning and your process to to a more progressive place in politics. Also, progressive beliefs are also like a spectrum. Like, I'm sure if Sally and I sat down, we actually wouldn't, like, there'd be some stuff that I'm like, oh, I don't know if that. And Sally would be like, yeah, that. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, not everybody is aligned. What we all agree with is that what we have now is not good. And things need to be better and serve more people.
And yeah, I mean, I think also, like, broadly, we're aligned in the sense that, like, we think that everyone has humanity and deserves, yes, like, justice and to be treated, yeah, like a person.
Baseline.
How that bears out in, like, policies, like, yes, yeah, who knows?
Totally.
But, yeah, Nancy Pelosi does not get the welcome, can you go a little further treatment. Like, yeah, that's a really good example of, like,
like, you've someone shown, who, you're in power, you've shown who you are, you're pulling you the shit, earned, you don't get my $12.
Like, no, not at all.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And the good news, though, is that there are so many, like, Caroline, I know you're, it, I think from Instagram, I learned that you're really into DSA, and that's, like, how you're, like, plugged into progressive stuff.
In LA,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
In LA. Mm-hmm. Another great way to, if you want to be plugged in to a more progressive, like, political, you know, a more political, like, a movement that's focused on electoral politics. Working Families Party
has
chapters all over the country, and they're really amazing. And not only do they have, is there like amazing volunteer work you can do with them, such as like canvassing and phone banking and text banking, but they have these national organizing calls that you can join on Zoom. And you just listen to basically like leaders in the Working Families Party, also candidates and stuff, talking about what they have planned and what's coming up. And they start every meeting by saying, we are starting the working class multiracial movement of our dreams. And they go on to just be like, here's what we're doing. We're really fired up. And it's just like, when you feel despair and you feel like, oh my God, what's going to happen? You call into one of those things and you're like, oh, we have a plan. People are leading us somewhere.
Right.
I'm going to jump in on this.
Right. There's actually places you can go, things you can do, like people that need your help and like have actual concrete things that they like tasks. That's why I say like bring your gifts. If you're a spreadsheet person, if you're an artistic person, like someone will put you to work.
It's so true.
The other thing too is you can, the DSA, the Working Families Party, they all make voter guides. And you can bring them to the polls with you. Even if you are just deciding today on primary day in a lot of states as we head up to midterms in November, even if you're like, well, I would love to vote for these people, I don't know who they are, literally Google your state and like either the socialist endorsement or the Working Family Party endorsement. If you're voting at home, I literally kept my ballot up and like Googled everyone's name. My friend in New York, who's extremely progressive and has been involved with Working Families Party and DSA for many, many years, even said that she had to Google some names on the New York primary this year. They don't make it easy for us. You know, there's some like secret thing that we all know that you don't know. It's just all the information is there. You just have to look for it. The other thing about Working Families Party too, which Dan told me a while ago, because he always votes and he has always voted Working Families, is that a lot of times on the ballot, the Democratic candidate will be on the Working Families column, and it doesn't change how the vote is counted. But if you vote in the Working Families Party for Joe Biden instead of in the Democratic Party, that data of how many people are aligning themselves with Working Families, even though all the candidates sometimes are the same, is helpful. And so if you feel comfortable, you can always vote aligned under that party.
Exactly.
I mean,
there's
that's
also
how we get away from a two-party system. We literally just have to like align ourselves with a third party. Yeah. Yeah.
There's also, Since we're mentioning things people can do, there's a place called Common Cause, which is like a democracy watchdog place. They just do a lot of like research and reports on like keeping keeping elections like free and fair, but of course they're not already. But they, when I was looking for things to do after 2020, I was like, what are my skills? I'm an online sicko. Well, it turns out that one thing you can do for them is you can do social media monitoring. So they train you.
Oh, wow.
And you just, you choose your social media. You can do Twitter or Facebook or Reddit. You can Jesus. Do Nextdoor, which okay. I signed up for, which is a real ride. And basically they like teach you how to pay attention to what kinds of things are posting. And there was so much misinformation in the last election. And, you know, they show you, you know, because our volunteers, you know, flagged the following things. We removed 5,000 posts from Facebook telling, you know, directing people to the wrong place to vote or lying about what the Democrats want to do. It's really, it's like a good, and if you're too, if the partisan thing, if you can't figure out like how to get involved electorally, that's like a really good, just kind of like straight up voting rights access thing to get involved in.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. Nextdoor is also, someone messaged me yesterday about getting, in regards to sort of becoming more involved in local elections. They were like, Nextdoor is a cesspool from hell. But also, if you want to be at like a constant 24/7 town hall of your direct community, that's what Nextdoor is technically. And if you feel like you have the stomach to do it, she's like, we got someone very progressive elected because we sort of like kind of went in and like tag teamed the Nextdoor, gave them the real information, explained.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, like, look, like, yes, that is small, but also meaningful. It's niche, but it's meaningful. Everyone has a Nextdoor community. I've avoided mine, but yesterday was the first time I thought maybe I should be paying attention to what other people in my neighborhood care about, whether I like it or not. I'd love to see what the deal is. But yeah, and you know, technology makes it super easy. Look, we said we were going to just kind of cover this for 5 minutes. Of course, it's been like an hour.
And here we are.
And here we are. You know, Sally and Caroline heads know.
They know. They know.
They know.
This is the second time we've sat down to record about a particular. What if we just keep sitting down to record that one episode and never do it?
It's done. I know. Well, yeah. I love keeping this like this. I like this. This is sort of a conversational episode about the goings on. And a absolutely judgment-free zone of saying you could have felt up until 2 minutes ago that the Bernie fans were the ones that gave us Trump in 2016. That's okay. You're allowed to feel that way. I felt that way. But we can move on from that. You're more than welcome to
move on from that. And my question also to those people, and not in a sarcastic or rhetorical way, is like, what do you need to move on from that and to, you know, get involved in a way that moves things forward? Because that's what we need to be doing.
Yes. And I'm going to put all those books. Can you remind me the website that you just told me about that you could comment?
Oh, Common Cause.
Common Cause.
Here, I'll just.
Is it .org or?
Yeah, commoncause.org. I'll put it in the chat. There's that. And then let me put this book. Okay, that's in the chat. And then
also follow the kids as we get older.
The Zoomers?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, like, as we get older, our views are the generations below us become more progressive. We're more progressive than our parents. Our parents are more progressive than their parents till the end of time. I think kind of what you're seeing now, too, between like aged groups on social media is that you are seeing some people who think that their version of liberal and progressive is the most, and that anything more left of them is just crazy. That is not true. So if you're looking for guidance beyond the activists and beyond the people doing the work, like, younger people seem to have a hugely impressive grasp on
also
as it pertains to gender, as it pertains to like consent, like all of the, it's just a totally different world.
It is. It's a different ballgame. They're not fucking around. They get things on like another level and are, I think, in some ways, like coming of age at a time where, like, I sort of think people my age, I'm in my early 40s, are like a lot of us white 40-year-old heads are like mm-hmm. a little bit like poisoned by mm-hmm. what we grew up with and can be a little bit stuck in our ways, which is like a real buzzkill when you think about the fact that we're still only in our 40s.
But you could say that about anyone, right? I mean, you could say that about any group.
It's true. I just feel like the youngsters are just doing a different thing. I feel like they're thinking in different ways.
They get it. The Gen Zers who get it. And you know what? In 20 years, they will be out of touch. Mm-hmm. Are you technically Gen X or are you a millennial?
So thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
I looked into this. I am technically, are you aware of something called an Xennial?
No, but are you right in that year?
I'm right in, there's like a 2-year period. So I thought that I could either be an elder millennial or a young Gen X. It turns out I was corrected. I tweeted that. I was corrected. I'm either like a young Gen X or an Xennial. But let me tell you something about Gen Z, Caroline.
Let me hear it.
What we're not going to do, we're not bringing back low-rise pants.
No,
I don't
we are
care.
Not. And thin eyebrows. It's not happening.
No.
And
we're
it's
done.
Never happening. And look, I was in Target the other day and there were so many horrible
things. Oh my God, that was so funny.
Things. I literally never make reels on the spot. And I was like, I have to do this. And someone commented, "Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it." And I've never heard anything more true. Because, oh my God, are you guys crazy? Terry cloth baby doll dresses? What are you doing? We are not bringing back low-rise pants. We're not bringing back a halter top.
A strappy tank.
It's just not happening. I can't do it.
No, it's not.
I won't do it. And it makes
me see. We've suffered enough.
It makes me see the mom jeans SNL skit differently.
Totally.
It makes me
see
it differently, and it makes me appreciate it. Because you know what? It's exactly the way, like, my poor parents working so hard to buy me the world's ugliest clothing, and now we're doing this again?
And now we're doing it again.
Insane.
I know. We've put everyone through.
Big and bushy. Keep your pants high and tight. And
high and tight and proud.
And let's change the world.
There's no rise too high for me. Yeah. Get me some neck rise jeans.
Neck high jeans, exactly. I love when my jeans touch the top of the bottom of my bra. I love that. That's what I want.
I saw, I forget where I was, like Urban Outfitters or something like that. Ugh. And there was like, it was like rib rise or something.
Oh,
it was like a new
God.
Word for like even higher rise. But you
Good.
Know what?
Give me it.
Put on your high rise jeans and go to workingfamiliesparty.org.
Yeah. Show your elders some respect and do not wear low rise pants around us. We all have PTSD. My eyebrows remain triggered by the year 2006.
There are some eyebrows that just never fully came back, Caroline.
I know. I mean, I haven't done my eyebrows in such a long time because I think I fear. Like, I'd rather have one eyebrow than no eyebrows.
Totally. It was
a tiny
tough time.
Sperm that were floating on my face when I was a sophomore in college shall not perish from the earth. It was rocky. I'm glad we talked about this, though. I feel like I'm glad that it's going to be somewhere where it's evergreen. I'm glad to have had a conversation with you about it rather than talking to myself.
No, same.
It's nice.
I've really appreciated what you've been doing on Instagram. I've been feeling really – it's really energizing. I don't know. It's just – it's important, like, to say the things you're saying and to have these conversations and to be able to be vulnerable but also take a stance, because you're not being like, I get it. Don't you have to do anything if you don't want? Like, you're like, no, we have to do stuff. It's just that, like, it's okay if you're just starting now. And I think that's right and cool. And I'm really glad that this was very cathartic for me, I will say.
Me too. Yeah. It's funny. There's no one on Instagram would know this because I'm not sharing my DMs, but overwhelmingly the response to this moment from this community has been like, you know what? Like, yes, I agree with this. Or like,
that's great.
I'm not totally there yet, but I think I could be. And the reason why they're not totally there yet is because it's like, here, do some of this reading. Like,
right.
You don't have to spend all of your energy being the one thing that convinces someone. You literally can just hand them resources and let them come to the decision on their own. But if June 2020 radicalized you into being someone who is comfortable saying Black Lives Matter in a space where maybe before you felt self-conscious about saying it, or that people would like demand like Black Lives Matter name three of their albums, or like, you know, what have you done? How can you say that? Like, you haven't done anything. Saying it out loud is like the first step. And that is the like gateway in. And I would say like, use this moment similarly. Like, if you can, I'll say it for the third time. If you look around you and you think this could be better, or we could do better, there are people doing that, and just go find them.
Yes.
Love it.
Like, fave, retweet.
We will never get to the actual top. Fave, retweet. Repost, reblog, share, subscribe. Quote tweet, this, subscribe. Like, I did a thing.
This, period.
this, period. Wow. couldn't have said, I have nothing to add. Just putting this here. Just leaving this here.
That's it. That's the tweet.
That's the tweet. Sally, will we ever talk about the shows that we're rewatching, the streaming, nothing?
Never again. And it's ironic because basically all I do is watch TV.
Me too. Like,
it's like 90% of my personality is watching TV. Yes, we will talk about it. We have to talk about it.
Let's give a little teaser, like for part two kind of situation.
Yeah. So, okay.
Okay. You have, I'm going to ask you a question and you have 60 seconds to just say whatever you want on the topic. And then I'll do same thing. Sally,
okay.
What is your most watched comfort TV show? And is it the same show that you've been watching as of lately?
Great question. Thank you for asking. I have a few different comfort shows. I think it's not the one you're thinking.
Okay.
I have to tell you, Caroline, that I am a New Girl head. I'm a big New Girl head. I actually, earlier today, I was wearing, I have a Nick Miller shirt I just got. I have to show it to you because maybe you'll appreciate if you're a New Girl head.
Yes.
Are you?
Yes, okay. I'm a New Girl head.
New Girl Rewatch podcast, by the way. Put a pin in that because I wanted to do that for a while. But
yeah. I am doing that.
Listen, there are a lot of things I don't like about it. I hate like the Schmidt in a fat suit thing. That's so annoying and bad and anti-fat. There's a lot of like weird racist shit in there. There's just like, you know, listen, like it's a show from 15 years ago or something like that. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't work. That said, there's a lot of stuff that does work, such as Winston Bishop, such as Nick Miller. There's just some great stuff. It's funny. It's cozy. There's stuff about friendship. There's stuff about dating. It's silly. There are great guest stars. You get your Lizzie Kaplan. You get your Tom Lennon. I mean, the list goes on. That is like a number one A++++ comfort watch for me.
I will tell you, I'm totally on the same page. For me, New Girl, especially the first couple seasons, so strong for me. I kind of fell off a little bit towards the end because I didn't watch it in real time. Dan is a New Girl head, of course, because we've decided that in another world, Sally and Dan are either the same person or life partners.
Happily married.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Dan is a New Girl head. I was kind of anti because like I feel like very scarred by like the Garden State moments, and I feel like the manic pixie dream girl kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, of which Zoe is very much part of or much defined by.
Yeah.
But truly, and Dan will tell you this, one of the only very few shows where I am laughing out loud, and it's so funny. It's a real. Similarly to kind of The Office, like the beat and the cadence of the comedy is just brilliant. Like it's not about like the kind of humor you have, and it's not about the kind of jokes they are. It's literally about the comedic timing.
It's so true. You're so right, Caroline.
It's so funny. It is just like one of the funniest shows. And I could not even retell a joke like off the top of my head. But I laugh loudly. And one of the episodes I always think about is the Thanksgiving episode with Justin Long.
So good.
And because every Thanksgiving I sing the song that they sing in the school play. But there's that part where Justin Long's like, my grandmother died around Halloween. And she goes, oh, that explains the Halloween concert. And it just bounces back to the Halloween concert. And it's three kids going, what is life? What is it for? Do we start dying the moment we are born?
And they're dressed, they're like in costume singing
in costume. It's so funny. Yeah. Oh gosh, that's, New Girl would be a great rewatch right now. Oh, I
it's
would a, love
it's
that.
Good. It, you know, it's one of those shows that like is not topical per se. So you don't really have to engage with like anything real in the political realm, but it's also very grounded in just kind of like everyday. It's, I mean, in many ways, it's like a Seinfeld-esque show about nothing.
Yes.
I find it like, I think the jokes are really dense, really good. It's wild because everyone on that show has incredible comedic timing. And as I've rewatched it, I started out being like that Max Greenfield, that Zooey Deschanel. But then I was like, wait a second, Lamorne Morris is incredible. And wait a second, so is Jake Johnson. So is Hannah Simone. Like, it's just so good.
And, it's a perfect ensemble. It really is. It's like a perfect ensemble. It's a perfect cast, perfect ensemble. Oh my God. Oh, True American.
True American is great. Oh.
If you guys aren't New Girl heads yet, you need to be New Girl heads.
Definitely become New Girl heads, especially in this moment. But Caroline, now I have to ask you, I know I took way more than 60 seconds.
No,
but
because I added to it. I love that. Mine is Gilmore Girls. Mine is the first like four seasons of Gilmore Girls, and then it sort of falls off for me. I'm very particular. Like if I don't get the cozy feeling, I got to go back to the beginning. And for so long, I'm like, got to push through. I don't think I've ever gotten to the end of Gilmore Girls. I don't even know what happened.
How many seasons are there?
There's about, I think there's seven. And I think it's around the like 2/3 of the way into five. I'm like, I just want to go back to season one and watch it again. Here's why. Love a New England small town. Love it.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
I love that it's on a soundstage. I don't want any surprises. I like that it's a controlled environment. Similarly, the comedic timing, the dialogue of it all. A lot of people do not like the Amy Sherman Palladino. A lot of people are not Amy Sherman Palladino heads, but I am. I am one. I like how fast the talking is.
I feel like I could be one. I feel like I have to give it a chance. I've never really sat down. I understand. I know kind of what it's about and stuff because I've like passed through while flipping channels and stuff. But I've never watched it. And I feel like I could get into it just because enough people whose taste I overlap. You know, here's the test. Does Dan like Gilmore Girls?
He hates it and you will too.
Okay.
And so I think I got it.
Okay.
You know
that's
what?
That's the answer.
You know what though? But you know, who knows? Maybe that's the split. I don't know. But knowing what I know about you, what I know about Dan, what I know about where you guys intersect, I don't know that you'll like it. It's also very problematic. It's a show from 2003, 2002 even. There's a lot of like anti-fat stuff in there. There's a lot of like weird jokes. Not like a ton of gay panic, but like there always is, you know, if it's a show from 2002, there always is. But I think it's something that if you grew up watching, if you watched it when it came out, which I did, I think it's a lot easier to bring that into another place with you. It sort of gives me a reminder of like, I don't know, just the very basic enjoyment of like a 42-minute programming. I don't know if you watch it for the first time in 2022, you'd be like, what the fuck? This is
That's fair. That's totally fair. That's how I feel when I recommend like Buffy to someone. I just feel like at this point in our history, maybe we've just moved past that as a society.
But there is a show that you and I both have in common. And this is where I'm going to say to you guys, gee, thanks heads. You're going to have to like for part two because we're not going to get into it yet. But what I will tell you about this show without naming it, though Sally knows what show I'm talking about. I have rewatched the show probably like four times, the first season especially, four times in the last like 7 years. Like every once in a while, I'll just put it on. It has never happened with any other show. This is not the case with any other show. This is the only show where when I rewatch it, every time I get to an episode, I'm like, I don't remember how this ends. And Dan's a big fan of the show and he'll be like, oh, you remember like this person did this and here's the person who did this. And I'm like, I couldn't tell you. And I've seen it multiple times. Once I watch it, it just leaves my brain. And then I get to see it for the first time all over again. It's actually kind of amazing. And I'm not going to tell anyone what show I'm talking about.
Let's not say, but I will extend the tease by saying it is like a show that if you can come back to without remembering what happens, you will be richly rewarded. So
richly
that's
rewarded.
Great.
I did something right in a past life to get this gift. And I appreciate it.
No, it's true. Absolutely.
So, Sally, thanks for co-hosting this sort of special one-off episode of Gee, Thanks, Let's Burn It All Down.
Gee, Thanks,
I like to burn it all down.
OG, let's burn it all down.
OG, let's burn it all down. I like that.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Thank you for having me. This was amazing.
Anytime. We're going to get back together next week to talk about the mystery show that shan't be named. But if we have any new girl heads out there, if we've got any Gilmore girl heads, any girl heads out there, I want to hear from you. If you started Gilmore Girls as an adult and understand what I'm talking about, I would love to put it into better words and would love your input. You can always reach out. And until next time, you know, smoke weed. I don't know. Like, go watch some commercials, eat some pizza. Until next time. I'll put the resources we talked about in our the show notes. Sally, without having to give every single person a state-by-state guide to their progressive like organizations, what's the best way to like Google what's happening in your neck of the woods? Like what terms should people be putting into the search bar?
I'm a big fan of just Working Families Party because they have chapters all over the country. And I think that's a really, really good place to start. And then the other thing I would say is like, if you're not join Facebook groups in your community and, or next door groups in your community, even like r/whatever. I think it depends on where you live, but like r/Philadelphia, there's like people talking about stuff. Like any way you can get plugged in through those channels, I would say go for it.
You just listened to another episode of G-Thanks Just Bought It, edited and mixed by Veronica Gruba and produced and hosted by me, Caroline Moss. In between episodes, you can always head to the G-Thanks Instagram at G-Thanks Just Bought It Pod and the G-Thanks Facebook group to get and give life-changing recommendations of your own. Subscribe to our weekly sale and discount emails at gthanks.substack.com. It's free. And you can reach me at caroline@gthanksjustboughtit.com or leave me a message at 424-245-0736 with a product recommendation, and you may be featured on an upcoming episode. G-Thanks is powered by subscribers like you. To keep all of our G-Thanks content free and accessible to all, consider making a monthly donation of $2 to keep us going at patreon.com/gthanksandfriends.